The Story of Mimi Nashi Hōichi. More than 700 years ago, at Dannoura, in the Straits of Shimonoseki, was fought the last battle of the long contest between the Heike, or Taira clan, and the Genji, or Minamoto clan. There, the Heike perished utterly with their women and children, and their infant emperor likewise, now remembered as Antoku Tenno. And that sea and shore have been haunted for 700 years. Elsewhere, I told you about the strange crabs found there, called Heike crabs, which have human faces on their backs and are said to be the spirits of Heike warriors. But there are many strange things to be seen and heard along that coast. On dark nights, thousands of ghostly fires hover about the beach or flit above the waves. Pale lights, which the fishermen call onibi, or demon fires. And whenever the winds are up, a sound of great shouting comes from that sea, like a clamor of battle. In former years, the Heike were much more restless than they are now. They would rise about ships passing in the night and try to sink them. And at all times, they would watch for swimmers to pull them down. It was in order to appease those dead that the Buddhist temple, Amidaji, was built at Akamagaseki. A cemetery also was made close by, near the beach, and within it were set up monuments inscribed with the names of the drowned emperor and of his great vassals. And Buddhist services were regularly performed there on behalf of the spirits of them. After the temple had been built and the tombs erected, the Heike gave less trouble than before. But they continued to do queer things at intervals, proving that they had not found the perfect peace. Some centuries ago, there lived at Akamagaseki a blind man named Hōichi, who was famed for his skill in recitation and in playing upon the biwa. From childhood, he had been trained to recite and to play, and while yet a lad, he had surpassed his teachers. As a professional biwa hōshi, he became famous chiefly by his recitations of the history of the Heike and the Genji, and it is said that when he sang the song of the Battle of Dannoura, even the goblins, Kijin, could not refrain from tears. At the outset of his career, Hōichi was very poor, but he found a good friend to help him. The priest of the Amidaji was fond of poetry and music, and he often invited Hōichi to the temple to play and recite. Afterwards, being much impressed by the wonderful skill of the lad, the priest proposed that Hōichi should make the temple his home, and this offer was gratefully accepted. Hōichi was given a room in the temple building, and in return for food and lodging, he was required only to gratify the priest with a musical performance on certain evenings when otherwise disengaged. One summer night, the priest was called away to perform a Buddhist service at the house of a dead parishioner, and he went there with his acolyte, leaving Hōichi alone in the temple. It was a hot night, and the blind man sought to cool himself on the veranda before his sleeping room. The veranda overlooked a small garden in the rear of the Amidaji. There, Hōichi waited for the priest's return and tried to relieve his solitude by practicing upon his biwa. Midnight passed, and the priest did not appear. But the atmosphere was still too warm for comfort within doors, and Hōichi remained outside. At last, he heard steps approaching from the back gate. Somebody crossed the garden, advanced to the veranda, and halted directly in front of him, but it was not the priest. A deep voice called the blind man's name. Abruptly and unceremoniously, in the manner of a samurai summoning an inferior. Hōichi. Hōichi was too much startled for the moment to respond, and the voice called again in a tone of harsh command. Hōichi.
Hai,
answered the blind man, frightened by the menace in the voice. I am blind. I cannot know who calls. There is nothing to fear, the stranger exclaimed, speaking more gently. I am stopping near this temple and have been sent to you with a message. My present lord, a person of exceedingly high rank, is now staying in Akamagaseki with many noble attendants. He wished to view the scene of the Battle of Dannoura, and today he visited that place. Having heard of your skill in reciting the story of the battle, he now desires to hear your performance. So you will take your biwa and come with me at once to the house where the August Assembly is waiting. In those times, the order of a samurai was not to be lightly disobeyed. Hōichi donned his sandals, took his biwa, and went away with the stranger, who guided him deftly, but obliged him to walk very fast. The hand that guided him was iron, and the clank of the warrior's stride proved him fully armed, probably some palace guard on duty. Hōichi's first alarm was over. He began to imagine himself in good luck, for remembering the retainer's assurance about a person of exceedingly high rank, he thought that the lord who wished to hear the recitation could not be less than a daimyo of the first class. Presently the samurai halted, and Hōichi became aware that they had arrived at a large gateway. And he wondered, for he could not remember any large gate in that part of the town, except the main gate of the Amidaji. Kaimon! The samurai called, and there was a sound of unbarring, and the twain passed on. They traversed a space of garden and halted again before some entrance, and the retainer cried in a loud voice, "Within there, I have brought Hōichi." Then came sounds of feet hurrying and screens sliding and rain doors opening and voices of women in converse. By the language of the women, Hōichi knew them to be domestics in some noble household, but he could not imagine to what place he had been conducted. Little time was allowed him for conjecture. After he had been helped to mount several stone steps, upon the last of which he was told to leave his sandals, a woman's hand guided him along interminable reaches of polished planking and round pillared angles too many to remember, and over widths amazing of matted floor, into the middle of some vast apartment. There he thought that many great people were assembled. The sound of the rustling of silk was like the sound of leaves in a forest. He heard also a great humming of voices, talking in undertones, and the speech was the speech of courts. Hōichi was told to put himself at ease, and he found a kneeling cushion ready for him. After having taken his place upon it and tuned his instrument, the voice of a woman, whom he divined to be the rōjo, or matron in charge of the female service, addressed him, saying, "It is now required that the history of the heike be recited to the accompaniment of the biwa." Now the entire recital would have required a time of many nights. Therefore, Hōichi ventured a question. "As the whole of the story is not soon told, what portion is it augustly desired that I now recite?" The woman's voice made answer, "Recite the story of the battle at Dannoura, for the pity of it is the most deep." Then Hōichi lifted up his voice and chanted the chant of the fight of the bitter sea, wonderfully making his biwa to sound like the straining of oars and the rushing of ships, the whirl and the hissing of arrows, the shouting and trampling of men, the crashing of steel upon helmets, the plunging of slain in the flood. And to left and right of him, in the pauses of his playing, he could hear voices murmuring praise. How marvelous an artist! Never in our own province was playing heard like this. Not in all the empire is there another singer like Hōichi. Then fresh courage came to him, and he played and sang yet better than before, and a hush of wonder deepened about him. But when at last he came to tell the fate of the fair and helpless, the piteous perishing of the women and children, and the death leap of Nii no Ama, with the imperial infant in her arms, then all the listeners uttered together one long, long, shuddering cry of anguish, and thereafter they wept and wailed so loudly and so wildly that the blind man was frightened by the violence of the grief that he had made. For much time the sobbing and the wailing continued, but gradually the sounds of lamentation died away, and again in the great stillness that followed, Hōichi heard the voice of the woman whom he supposed to be the dōjō. She said, "Although we had been assured that you were a very skillful player upon the biwa and without an equal in recitative, we did not know that anyone could be so skillful as you have proven yourself tonight. Our Lord has been pleased to say that he intends to bestow upon you a fitting reward. But he desires that you shall perform before him once every night for the next 6 nights, after which time he will probably make his august return journey. Tomorrow night, therefore, you are to come here at the same hour. The retainer who tonight conducted you will be sent for you. There is another matter about which I have been ordered to inform you. It is required that you shall speak to no one of your visits here during the time of our Lord's august sojourn at Akamagaseki. As he is traveling incognito, he commands that no mention of these things be made. You are now free to go back to your temple."